Our reading today is from Luke 1, verses 39 to 56. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favoured that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfil his promise to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home.
I'm very thankful that I get to finish, I guess, by opening up God's word with you all. So please, if you do have a Bible, if you're at home, grab a Bible, open up to Luke chapter 1. And we're actually going to just focus in on that wonderful song of Mary's, what they call the Magnificat. So why don't I pray and then we'll get stuck into what God has to say to us today. Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Christmas. That at Christmas you revealed yourself, that you came, that the Lord has come, and that you showed us that, as Mary knew, you are the Mighty One, that you are holy, but you're also merciful, which means you will provide for our deepest needs because that's always been your purpose all along. Please, Lord, help us to sing the wonderful words of Christmas, that the Lord has come. Help us to praise you with our souls, with our inmost beings, with our spirits, that you might receive all the glory, all the praise, all the honour you deserve at Christmas and every other day. And we pray this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Carols. Have you missed singing carols? I'm looking around to find the Grinches. No, I'm looking around. Yeah, there, I found one. No, I'm looking around to find the people that like to sing, I guess. But carols at this time of year is normally something that bubbles up and happens. We hear them, we sing them. Carols. You might be someone that doesn't enjoy them. Or maybe not the ones at church. Maybe you like those other ones. The ones that, you know, just hear those sleigh bells. Anyone? Jingling, ring, ting, tingling too. What's the next words? Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Dashing through the snow on a one-horse open sleigh. Yes, thank you, Jess. One person at least. Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer. See, those ones, we might even like to sing those ones too. Or maybe hum them. Or maybe just humbug them. I don't know what you're like when it comes to carols, but at this time of year they come, don't they? And they communicate something to us. See, I love it. And before, I hope that's why you saw I wanted to sing that song just previously. I love a song I can sing along with when I can feel the words. They sort of communicate who I am, how I feel. More than that, they communicate what is real. And the picture that I always think of when I think of that sort of singing is Jerry Maguire in the car when he's just quit his job and he just belts out, "Yeah, I'm free, free, free." Falling, that part's probably a bit tough, but he's singing the freedom that he has. He feels it inside and it bubbles up and it just gets expressed in this song. Now, you may not feel like that about carols, but the carol we're going to look at today, that's exactly what's happening. The words are almost like this exuberant song that says, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come, let heaven and nature sing." See, at Christmas, carols are fantastic. And we can sing, all the different carols of dashing through the snow, of seeing Rudolph fly through the sky, jingle belling, mistletoe seeing, and candy cane eating, all that stuff we can, but that would just be the trimmings, and we would miss the triumph. See, what is it at this time of year that prompts praise? Because this time of year for Christians should prompt an incredible amount of praise. Praise like Mary's, who praised so exuberantly in the first ever Christmas carol. Because what does she do? Well, she expresses her praise like a Christian, like you and I should. Praise at the coming of Christ and God's work through him. That's what you and I do, isn't it? That it just comes from our soul, from our spirit. Did you see that? I mean, she's just come from having an angel come to her, tell her she's going to be pregnant, give birth to the Son of God. This is no small thing at all. And she goes and visits Elizabeth. And in Elizabeth's womb, this other baby leapt for joy, just seeing that here comes the King. And she, filled up with this praise, says what? "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." My soul glorifies, praises the Lord. My spirit, her very being, rejoices in God my Savior. Mary is that picture of that child running. Well, you saw it with Eve just before. When you see them, they get this gift and they can't just help themselves but run over to that and unpack it and rip it open and just be like, "Woo! How great is this?" That's what she's feeling like on the inside. That's you and me, Christian brother and sister, isn't it? Knowing that the Lord has come. Yeah? Why does she do this? Why do we do this? I hope. Well, it's because we learn who our God is. See, Christmas reveals, Christmas shines God's person and his works, who he is and what he has done. It shines his might. It shines his holiness. It shines his mercy. And then it tells us of his provision and his purposes that he has had for all time. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive their King. Is that what Christmas says to you? Is that what Christmas shines for you? Is this why you sing? Or maybe you don't sing because you're not a singer, but is that why you praise at this time? Because it bubbles up inside? Or has Christmas become sort of like that set of stories we repeat each year? Like that old series you've watched on TV so many times that you can just go through it without even caring. It's as real now as dashing through the snow on Christmas Day here, with jingle bells ringing. A nice, fleeting moment, but fleeting. Maybe a little good feeling. A moment of sentimentality, but airbrushed and actually removed from reality. Is that what Christmas actually is to you? Because for many of us, it probably has become that if we're honest. Christmas should be soul-shaking. Christmas should be world-altering news, because that's what causes us to praise. My soul to glorify the Lord, my spirit to rejoice in God my Savior. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Don't you want to do that? Mary did. Why? Well, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. And for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. You see, at Christmas, his person is revealed. His attributes, who he is, who our God is, the creator of this universe, the fact that he is mighty, that he is holy and merciful. Without those three things together, Christmas is nothing. The Mighty One has come. The Mighty One. Let's have a look at that. Did you see that at the beginning? For the Mighty One has done great things for me. And I ask, when I think of Christmas, how is he mighty? I mean, you get that picture, yeah? The picture of this tiny little baby, helpless can be, sitting in a manger, surrounded by all these animals and hay, and that doesn't seem all that mighty, does it? But somewhere there, what we see is the greatest impossibility made possible. Christmas is the greatest impossibility made possible. You think back to Mary's story. Do you remember last week? What happened when the angel came to her? What did she say? She said, "How can it?" She said, "That's impossible. Me, pregnant?" But at the end of that, what did the angel say to her? "Nothing is impossible with God." Because just think about it for a second. The greatest impossibility made possible. Who is Jesus? Scripturally, Jesus is the uncreated, unbegotten creator of all things. He is the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. He is God himself, and he became a single cell. Conception, yeah? The Holy Spirit will overshadow her. Conception, a single cell, the same way that all of us began, as a single cell, the weakest of beings possible. And then he went into a womb, physically formed and molded. And he came out of that womb, grew to a man, became physically tormented and torn, cursed upon a cross. What weakness! How is that mighty? See, but in that moment, he powerfully displayed his reign over death, didn't he? And he rose victoriously. He became a single cell so that he could go to that solitary cross. Single cell to a solitary cross. What power, what majesty, joy to the earth, the Savior reigns, that all their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains repeat the sounding joy, because the Creator himself came and became like us. That's crazy, isn't it? Like, what might to be able to, that's almost unbelievable, it's impossible. So what might you must have to be able to do that? What majesty, what power to be able to do this, what we celebrate? Does it seem impossible to you? Or is it just, how can this be? Well, because the Mighty One has come, and nothing is impossible with God. This is who the God of Christmas is, the Mighty One, but also the Holy One. Yeah? Did you see that it goes on to say, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, holy is his name. Holy. And a name, when somebody's name was given, it's kind of like with us with our kids, we give names hoping to have some sort of significance. Holy is his name. The name was meant to sort of define who they were. Holy. He is holy. What is holy? It's completely other. It's separate. It's perfect. Unable to sin. You think of darkness, you think of light. It is the light. There is no darkness within him. I love it at summertime. My old house in Lithgow, Kevin, here we go. In Lithgow, we didn't have air conditioning or anything like that because it's only hot for a short period of time and it's freezing cold for a lot of the other. And you stay inside and you close all the curtains and it's pitch black in there. You can't really see what you're doing or where you're going, but it's cool. It's at least cool. But then what happens when you walk outside into near 40 degree heat, sun blazing? What happens to your eyes? It's blinding, isn't it? You can't see there either. It's just so gloriously bright. That's Jesus. The exact representation of God's being in a way that you could see with eyes, sitting in a manger. That is him. Now, the manger probably wasn't glowing, just so you know, as the pictures sometimes do. Ah, no, he just would have been pink. But here is the one who could do no wrong. Here is the one that should be shining in our eyes, who could judge perfectly too, who could come and say, no, this place is a mess. I'm done with this. And we want a world that has justice, don't we? We want to live in a world with justice. He can bring it. He had the power to do that, and he had the right to do it because he was holy. So what does he do? Well, he steps into the darkness, into the mess and into the brokenness of an unholy place. Why? Well, verse 50, because his mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. And you could go on and on and on. You see, Christmas tells us God had the right. He had the power to bring justice, and he did at his own expense. For his mercy extends to those who fear him. Christmas, guys, there is no other reason why we can keep celebrating at all except for Christmas. A holy, perfect, always right God, mighty, all-powerful. He chose not to destroy the darkness, but for mercy's sake, for our sake, he came in and stepped into it to make sure that justice could be met. Joy to the world, yes? No more let sin and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow as far as the curse is found. I love the way Keller has put it when he comments on these verses. God is the powerful, holy, and merciful one. That is what we see when we look at Christmas properly. That's what Christmas should shine. Holy, he must do something. Powerful, he can do something. But mercy, he wants to do something. And so he did. He came. This is the God of Christmas. And Mary's story shouts it. Mary's song sings it. The story of how it is that God works, how this God works. Her story actually is like an illustration. You think about it. Her story shows the history of all God's works. Have a listen, because the next little part, she unpacks it a bit more. His works. his provision and his purpose from verse 51. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble, just like her. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel. Now, as you read that, as you heard that, it sounded all like past tense, didn't it? When really she's actually speaking of future realities, the things to come. But so certain that this is how her God works, she can speak of it as if it's already happened. Yeah? It's crazy. The full extent of that to come, we still haven't seen the full extent of that to come either. When Jesus returns again, we'll get that. But the certainty comes from her knowing who her God is and how he has worked in the past. This is how he works, always, for all people. And I don't know if you saw it, but there was a massive role reversal, wasn't there? Like the poor were raised up, the proud dragged down, the rich were dragged down, the rulers and their thrones and the humble were raised up. That's how God works. You see, the Bible tells us, and Mary's song sings, that God isn't bound by the attitudes of humanity. The proud, the ruler, the rich, the fool. Those who think that they've got it all, you will leave the party empty, he says. If that's how your attitude is, but the humble, the weak, the poor, the hungry, those who know their need, you will never leave the party at all. Hunger's an interesting thing, isn't it? Particularly at Christmas. I always feel hungry at Christmas, even when I'm full, because there's always such good food around, isn't there? But there's that first sort of moment, and it often happens here when we do the Christmas service, and it's going to be a bit different this year. I'll just be full all day. You have the Christmas service, and then you sort of go home and you wait for Christmas lunch. And I just that moment sometimes when you walk in the door and you smell it. Pork belly cooking with a white wine underneath, so it stews the... Anyway, we won't get into that. But you smell it. And what does it do? You start to feel the hunger pains. You long for that. You're so keen to eat. We feel that pretty rarely, though, don't we? If we're honest, for most of us. Some of you might be in here. You're always hungry. Christmas is very much for you. Hungry. Do we feel that? See, if Christmas isn't what Mary sings of, then Christmas will only ever be the airbrushed version. Fake. A desire to dash through those snow-covered fields but find white-hot scorching sand. Your sleigh's not going far. You get the smell of that delicious pork belly, but you'll be left hungry. You'll never actually eat. And yet Christmas is for the hungry. That's why this is so good. But you've got to feel the hunger, guys. And this can be difficult for us. We have to be honest. This can be difficult for us, can't it? Because most of us, we are so full. Most of us don't have, you know, we've got so much. We need to see our desperate need to be filled by the God who can meet our spiritual need. And it's always been his plan to do that. Because did you see in verse 55, what do we get there? Verse 55, she sings, he has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. There was a promise, wasn't there? Long, long, long ago, many thousands of years ago, there was a promise made to a man named Abraham that set all of this story off and leads us to Christmas. And what was the promise made to him? Abraham, you will be with child, a single cell. The story will begin from this single cell and it will lead all the way to what? Another single cell who will change the world. All the world, all the nations will be blessed through this one seed. Mary was living in a world that needed changing. We live in a world that needs changing. You see, in this context, when Mary gets this news, it wasn't looking all that great. It was dark. This was like a very dark time for Mary and her people. Israel had been uprooted, up out of their land. They'd been taken into exile. Their home had then been destroyed. And then they'd been returned. And now they're under the oppressive rule of the Romans. It ain't great for her and her people. It's kind of like that picture. You know, when you're driving around, if there's that house that you can see has all the Christmas lights hanging on it, but they're not turned on. It is just dark. All the streetlights might be out as well. And it is just dark. That is what it's like for them. You see, there'd been 400 years since a prophet had spoken, that God's word had been heard, that there was any hope of some sort of a future. And it was thousands of years since that promise made to Abraham. And you'd be starting to think, surely God has forgotten. Surely he doesn't really exist. Maybe we should start to airbrush this thing, find another way for us to have a good time. What about now? It's 2,000 years since that first Christmas. And the lights for many people have slowly started to flicker and gone out, so the house might feel quite dark. Maybe they've actually been taken inside, and or you were told, just keep your Christmas inside to your private little world. You see, those 2,000 years since Christ has come, a roof has sort of been built over Christmas, hasn't it? Slowly, tile by tile by tile by tile. Christmas is then what you make it. Don't let this Christmas story explode out too much. It's been privatized, sentimentalized, airbrushed, and made whatever it is you want, but the promise was for a cell to change the world. This is it, guys. This. Mary exclaims that her soul and her spirit cries out because she humbly sees this is it, and we as Christians have to see that at Christmas. This is it. This is Christmas. Christmas is the lights all brightly displayed. Christmas is the roof torn off of that house and God coming down and sitting in your lounge room. Christmas is a supernatural wonder. It's incredible when we really grasp it, when we understand who it is that has come and why it is that he came. This is God stepping into our homes and then into each and every single one of your hearts, the hearts of the poor and the hungry, the needy people like you and me who cried, "This is it, and I needed this." Now, you may not like singing at Christmas, but if you get that, if we experience this at Christmas, well, our soul, our spirit will praise, won't it? This is it. Christmas, the incarnation. Without this God coming, mighty, holy, merciful, without this God's purpose, there is no provision. You'll be left hungry. There is no cross. There is no grave. There is no resurrection. There is no joy. I'm not trying to be a downer, because why be a downer when this is it? It's happened. Joy to the world. He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love and wonders of his love and wonders of his love and wonders, wonders of his love. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. I love a song I can sing along with because I feel the words reflect who I am, how I feel, but more than that, what is real. That is what's real. Christmas, this is it. And so you have a chance now to sing, maybe not a carol, but this is one of my all-time faves. I might call it a banger. Praise the Lord is what we're going to be singing. So why don't the band come up and let's stand and let's really sing the praises of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for who he is and what it is that he has done, because this is it.